everything. But what I can't understand is why he calls himself
Mother Bride and Glory, this is Henry Boy, for it's useless to come in. When trouble's brewing, it's his doing, and then there's an event.
Well, welcome to another Sleazecast. Another one that's been much delayed in the production. But hey, a lot's been happening. You know, the past few months we've had the Jubilee, Diamond Jubilee, Her Majesty's 68 glorious years on the throne. And whilst watching all that, all the pageantry and all the cobblers and whatever, people were standing on balconies being cheered at, you know, people festooned, you know, in military uniforms, festooned with gold braid and medals they certainly haven't earned in battle, and wearing funny hats, and so being cheered on by crowds of idiots, soldiers giving royal salutes, all this sort of thing, people genuflecting in front of royalty, sycophantic commentaries from the television companies. It just brought home to me that in this country, we spend so much bloody time living in the past. We're always looking backward. We're obsessed with our glorious past. I mean, you know, it's a cliche to say it's because, you know, the present day doesn't measure up and all that. But we really are obsessed with it. We're obsessed with our finest hour in World War II, our brave boys, all this. Particularly military past, we're always hot on. But there's always this harking back in all aspects of life here. Whether it be people harking at the good old days when people knew their place, when the old social order's there. We see it with this government we have, a cabinet full of old Etonians, millionaires, you know, and the whole rhetoric is about the undeserving, poor and all this sort of thing. It's the idea, you know, putting back this proper social order back in place, which is what this Jubilee's all about, really. It's promoting the idea, you know, there's the royal family at the top and the rest of you know your place below. You're there to worship them. The fact that they are a symbol of inherited wealth, completely unearned privilege. They're a throwback to medieval times of monarchs ruling by divine right. But we are obsessed with it. And is it any wonder we just never seem to move forward? We just stagnate. Every time we think we have some social advances in this country and we think that, you know, maybe we can see an end to class warfare and everything. No, we realise the old system hasn't really gone away. People are still clinging to it because they feel safe with it, knowing their place and everything. But the trouble is the rest of the world is moving on and they don't care about Britain's place in the world or what we perceive as being our rightful place in the world. They don't care. And it's all based on historical fiction anyway, all this glorious past. It's only the way the people in power choose to interpret it and promulgate it to the masses. And the problem with this clinging to the past is that if you're not careful, it precludes, if you're so obsessed with it, any notion that the future can actually be better. You know, things happening now, things made now, whatever, can be as good or better than the things in that good old glorious past you were talking about. I mean, you don't just see it in politics, the media, whatever. I see all the time people always going, oh, I don't know, like comedy programs. Oh, it was all so much better in the good old days, you know. Comedy today, it's just rubbish. Well, not really true. I mean, the truth is us, we've changed. We've grown older and, things have moved on. But, you know, it precludes any consideration that modern programming might be better, or at the very least as good as stuff in the past. It's just different, that's all. And a lot of it is. I mean, some of it's rubbish, but then, of course, most of what they think was glorious in the past was rubbish. I know this sounds strange coming from a man who spends a lot of time poking around a place like the Internet Archive and who enjoys good old shows like, you know, the Goon Show from the 50s and old style. Yeah, I do, but I and it's great fun, but I'm very conscious that I'm looking at the best of the past most of the time. And I also accept that things happening now can be good as well. And anyway, this idea that, you know, the past is always better, I mean, it's a nonsense. When you actually start examining some of these so-called classic pieces of popular culture in the past, you find they're absolutely, I don't know, displaying appalling attitudes. I mean, that's the other trouble. You don't recognise the artefacts of their era, reflecting the attitudes there, and that's where they're interesting. I mean, I opened there with the theme song from It's That Man Again with Tommy Handley, much loved series, ran for 310 episodes, whatever it was, until he died, and in 1948. And everybody looks back on that, people go, oh, that was great comedy. And there were people who said, you know, the Goons were rubbish and whatever. God, they said when the Goons, what's all this nonsense? Let's go back to good old proper comedy like It's That Man Again. But you listen to it, man, I will try to listen to it. And I tell you, some of the attitudes displayed, particularly towards race and or sex, whatever, are pretty appalling. But, you know, what do I know? The past, it was just so much better, you know, that era of casual racism.
I say it's come over dark. No, it hasn't. It's a swarm of licorice all sorts or something. Well, bigger banger with a new silk hat and beautifully creased legs. Well, well. How are you, you old scoundrel?
They try and make you think they set you free by calling you a second-class citizen. No, you're nothing but a 20th century slave.
The ballot or the bullet?
The ballot.
We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare.
Well, if you're black, you should be thinking black.
Black nationalist.
Black nationalist.
The government has failed us. You can't deny that.
The ballot or the bullet.
You got a president who's nothing but a southern segregationist.
The government has failed us.
Segregationist. Racist. White supremacist.
You can't deny that.
The political philosophy of black nationalism only means that the black man should control the politics and the politicians in his own community.
The economic philosophy of black nationalism only means that we should own and operate and control the economy of our community.
The man who's controlling the stores in our community is a man who doesn't look like we do.
The white man is too intelligent to let someone else come and gain control of the economy of his community.
I know you don't like me saying that.
Because if you're black, you should be thinking black.
The ballot or the bullet.
Gain control of the economy.
I know you don't like me saying that.
Control the politics.
The whole church structure in this country is white nationalism. We got Jesus white, Mary white, God white, everybody white. That's white nationalism.
The ballot
or the bullet.
Or the bullet.
I know you don't like me saying that. Who come here to say what you like. I'm going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not.
The ballot or the bullet.
Disenchanted, disillusioned, dissatisfied.
In the South, they're outright political wolves. In the North, they're political foxes. A fox and a wolf are both canine. Both belong to the dog family. The only way we're going to solve it, we got to unite. Black nationalism.
Black nationalism.
Take the entire civil rights struggle into the United Nations. Let the world see that Uncle Sam is guilty.
If you black, you were born in jail.
I'm not a Republican, nor a Democrat, nor an American. And got sense enough to know.
If you go to jail, for what? If you black, you were born in jail.
The ballot or the bullet?
The party that you back controls two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you, because you're a chump. Anytime you throw your weight behind a political party that controls two-thirds of the government, and that party can't keep the promise that it made to you during election time, and you are dumb enough to walk around continuing to identify yourself with that party, you're not only a chump, but you're a traitor to your race. It's liberty or death.
Black nationalism.
The Russian Revolution was bloody. Chinese Revolution was bloody.
French Revolution
Cuban
was bloody.
Revolution was bloody. And there was nothing more bloody than the American Revolution. George Washington wasn't nothing non-violent about George Washington. It's liberty or death. The ballot or the bullet. They ever never had a non-violent revolution. That don't happen even in Hollywood.
You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy.
Stop singing and start swinging.
Anytime you live in the 20th century, 1964, and you walking around here singing, "We shall overcome," the government has failed.
Stop singing.
singing and start swinging.
The ballot for the bullet.
Because if you're black, you should be thinking black.
The ballot.
Black nationalism.
Or the bullet.
The whole church structure in this country is only the American nightmare.
The ballot.
The only way we're going to solve it.
Disenchanted.
We got to unite.
Disillusioned.
All the to God.
Dissatisfied.
You're black.
20th century slave.
You were born
the ballot.
In jail. The ballot for the
bullet.
I know you don't like me saying that. I'm not the kind of person who come here to say what you like. I'm going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not.
Okay, time for some more movie musings from me. This time, brought to you not from my kitchen, but from a clearing in the woods, where I stood near a gnarled old tree. Not that has anything whatsoever to do with what I'm going to talk about. Origin stories are what I want to talk about. What is this obsession with filmmakers, Hollywood? Once they get their hands on some kind of what they hope is going to be a franchise, a character, they insist on having a bloody origin story, wasting half of an entire film, sometimes the whole film, telling us how this character got to be who they are, who, you know, explaining all their relationships, all the other characters. For God's sake, you know, we don't need to know that. We already know, usually. You know, we read the comic strip, we read the book, we've seen the TV series you've derived this from. We know all this. We don't need to waste time seeing them do it. It's like, I don't know, say Batman. We want to see Batman being Batman. We don't want to know all about bloody Bruce Wayne, how he's frightened by a bat when he's a kid. You know, that's why I rather admired the Tim Burton Batman. I mean, it was an origin story in that it tells us about the beginnings of Batman's career, his first appearance in Gotham City, and it does get in the origin bit, but it does it mainly in flashback. It integrates it into the story quite well, you know. So, you know, most of the time we're seeing Batman being Batman, doing what he does best, kicking people's asses. That's what you want to see, driving his cool Batmobile. You know, that is my, I mean, I, don't be wrong, I enjoy Batman Begins, but you know, you just wait for an age to see him become Batman. That's what you want to see. Superman's another one. How many bloody times do we have to be told about how Superman came from Krypton and all this bollocks? You know, we know. I mean, and look at the way, say, Judge Dredd, any chance of that being a bloody franchise was killed off with that awful, awful Danny Cannon film starring Sylvester Stallone. I mean, again, because it obsessed itself with some kind of origin story for Judge Dredd. We don't need to know. Judge Dredd simply is. We accept it. He's this badass lawman. That's what we need to know. And that's all we want to see him do, is being a badass lawman in Mega City 1. That's all we care about. Cut to the chase. And it's also insulting to the intelligence of the audience, you know, because after all, in any other situation in life, we encounter a new situation, say we go to a new workplace, we encounter new people, whatever. Do we immediately need to be told the entire history of their relationships before we can interact with them? Do we need to know who shagged who before you got there? And why the boss is such an arsey bastard? And you know, why that girl there is looking daggers at you because it turns out you look like some bloke who used to work there who did the dirty on her or something. No, we don't need to know that for, you know, straight up. We don't need it all laid out and explained to us. Because in real life, of course, over a period of time, these things will become apparent. We'll learn them. That's part of the interest in life, isn't it, of doing something new, going somewhere new, meeting new people. We find these things out. And it's the same with fiction, be it written fiction, be it film. On a film, a good writer or a good filmmaker basically allows all these things to filter through to the viewer from a, like, little bits of dialogue, maybe the odd flashback here and there. It all gets explained in the end without the need for huge chunks of exposition. That's the sign of poor artistry. And that's my problem with origin stories and films. It's poor bloody artistry. It really is. It insults the intelligence of the audience. And you're saying up front, I'm such a bad bloody filmmaker. You know, I have no idea how to tell you any things other than wasting half the ruddy film telling you about it. You know, I don't want to know about Bruce Wayne before he's Batman. Really, it's not interesting. That's the whole point. He's only bloody interesting when he's Batman. Same with Clark Kent. You know, trust me. It's the fact he's also Superman which is interesting. Perhaps I'm being picky. I don't know. Yeah, because that was one of my big problems with that bloody Star Trek remake or reboot or whatever, reimagining, whatever the hell they wanted to call it. It's necessary to have an origin story for Star Trek. They didn't consider that in the original series. They just throw you straight in and, you know, expect you to be able to pick it all up, you know, who these people are, the race, it all filters through. But, you know, that's the way it should be, you know. If this original series didn't need it, then we sure as hell didn't need a 2-hour bloody film telling us it. I wouldn't mind, it wasn't even a very good film. I know I'm in the minority opinion there, but really, it wasn't Star Trek, it was just another bloody big science fiction action adventure film, which simply used the name Star Trek. As far as I could see, it had very little to do with the original series in terms of ethos and feel. And, yeah. Basically, it wasn't Star Trek. That's my problem with it, because it insists on doing this bloody origin story. So, the original series didn't need it. Why did the film? Don't insult our audience. We know Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock are. You know, we don't need it all laid out with this entirely spurious history they make, an origin they make up for them. Because part of the problem of the film, none of the character relationships seem genuine, because they just made it all up for this origin story. But, you know, there you go. Maybe it's just me, but one thing I dread, any kind of franchise, going to the cinema to watch any film, any kind of franchise, is this need to have an origin story. You know, they do it to everything. Remember Sherlock Holmes? I wouldn't mind, though. Sherlock Holmes has an origin story, if you want to call it that, that Conan Doyle wrote, Study in Scarlet. Tells us exactly how Holmes and Watson met. But was that good enough for Hollywood? Oh no, they had to come up with a bloody young Sherlock. Now there's a whole spurious frigging thing about Holmes and Watson met his schoolboys at public school. Sorry? Where did that come from? Is that a bollocks? We don't need it. Right? You know. Yeah, you're making up an origin story, well, one already existed to supplant the original, written by the original author. Sorry, what, do you think you're better than Conan Doyle or Chris Columbus? No, I don't think you are. Yeah, and if anybody listening to this has seen young Sherlock Holmes, they'll agree with me. It was crap. But, you know, does that deter Hollywood? No, of course it doesn't. You can guarantee we'll have bloody origin stories for every other comic strip franchise they're trying to get on the screen now. Was the thing I heard about Rent-A-Ghost? You know, Christ, that'll be an origin story, wasn't it? How all these people died, became ghosts, and got together. Oh, for God's sake, you know. The TV series did that in the first 15 minutes of the first 25-minute episode. That's all it needed. Don't need a whole bloody film to tell us that. But there you go. I mean, I wouldn't mind it anyway. That sounds like bollocks anyway, doesn't it? This proposed Rent-A-Ghost movie in Hollywood. You want Russell Brand to star as Fred Mumford, I heard in the rumours. Absolutely not. Anybody who saw Rent-A-Ghost would know that the owner, Fred Mumford, was this bloody straight bloke, you know. Yeah, he that was the point. He was an ordinary sort of bloke next door type. You know, if you're going to cast Russell Brand in it, unless you want to completely waste his talent, such as they are, the only role you can possibly cast him in is that Timothy Claypole, the court jester come poltergeist, zany character, tailor-made for Russell Brand. But here you go, it's Hollywood again. They buy these properties, but they haven't. All they know is that it's got a ready-made audience for it. And basically, it's their way. They think, well, okay, we can sell them our interpretation, our crock of shit, which has nothing to do with the original. We can sell it on the basis of this name to unsuspecting fans and hope they like it. You know, hey, we got that captive audience in. Even if it fails after the first episode, what does it matter? Because we'll probably make our money back on it, because we'll get all the poor dupes in just by using that name. But there you go. As I say, that's Hollywood.
April Fool's Weekend 2011, and I'm Amanda Evans reporting. French President Nicolas Sarkozy uses a £10,000 armour-plated umbrella to protect him from attackers. Carried by the head of state security guards, the rainproof device is coated in high-strength Kevlar so it can reduce the force of bullets and resist knife attacks. The National Trust has published a list of the UK's top 10 silly walks to such colourfully named locations as Scrubby Bottoms, Pembrokeshire, Boobies Bay, Cornwall, and Windy Gap in Surrey. Keen ramblers can also sniff out a route to the nostrils on the Isle of Wight. A 50-strong gang of chickens that terrorised residents in Southport has been evicted by Lancashire police. The flock, which had been abandoned by their former owner, prowled the streets in a pack and would begin crowing at 4 a.m. each morning. Join me Saturday nights from 5:30 right here on Coastway for the Good Evans Show. Good living, good music, good news. Good Evans.
Okay, that was some April Fool's news, day news from local radio in 2011. Apparently every word of it is true. And before that, obviously, was some movie musings from me. And before that was something I found on the wonderful archive.org. It was Malcolm X versus Rat-a-tat-tat, composed by DJ Stay in School, and you can find it there on archive.org. I would say along with a lot of other stuff by DJ Stay in School, but apparently it's the only thing he has on there. yep, and obviously before that was another little bit of Tommy Handley being racist in It's That Man Again. Well, we're drawing to a close of this special pocket-sized edition of the Sleaze cast, and I mentioned the Jubilee beforehand. I mean, Jubilee, I know we're a bit late, but what the heck. To celebrate Her Majesty's 60 years on the throne, I think we're going to be played out now by our own Susie Sleaze, our regular newsreader, and she's going to perform for us the Sex Pistols' legendary God Save the Queen. Take it away, Susie.
God Save the Queen. The fascist regime. They make you a moron. The potential H-bomb. God Save the Queen. She ain't no human being. There is no future. In England's dreaming. Don't be told what you want. Don't be told what you need. There's no future. There's no future. There's no future for you. God Save the Queen. We mean that man. We love our Queen. God Save. God Save the Queen. Cost us so money. And our figurehead. Is not what she seems. Oh God Save History. God Save Your Mad Parade. Oh Lord God Have Mercy. All crimes are paid. When there's no future, how can there be sin? We're the flowers in the dustbin. We're the poison in your human machine. We're the future, your future. God Save the Queen. We mean that man. We love our Queen. God Save. God Save the Queen. We mean that man. There is no future. In England's dreaming. No future. No future for you. No future for me. No future. No future for you. No future for me. No future. No future for you. No future for me. No future. No future for you. No future for me.